This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. There is music in the voices of North Carolina's people, and a wide variety of music at that. This state has a rich diversity of regional English dialects as well as an assortment of ancestral and immigrant languages. The people of Core Sound contribute to the state's diversity with their unique dialect and culture. Core Sound is a community along the Outer Banks, and for nearly 300 years, the communities in that area have earned a livelihood from the commercial fishing industry. It's a livelihood that is now seriously threatened. Core Sounders is a new documentary that tells the story of a community in transition. Walt Wolfram is executive producer of the film. He's a professor of English at North Carolina State University. He also directs the North Carolina Language and Life Project. Neil Hutchison is an Emmy Award-winning director who directed Core Sounders, and he works as a video producer at NC State. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Great
Thank
to
you.
Be here. Thanks.
Walt, tell me how you became interested in the Core Sound community.
Well, it developed out of our linguistic work. So we started in Ocracoke about 20 years ago, and then we went to Harkers Island, and we were finding these similarities in speech. And, of course, speech is always contextualized by culture and language. It doesn't stand as an isolated artifact. And so we saw, and Neil, as he was doing some of this production, saw the culture and decided to follow the culture. So it's not something that sort of is a documentary and done. It's a developing interest that we've had now for two decades, and Neil and I have worked together the last 15 years. And so as he sees these cultural themes develop out of and contextualize our language studies, he says, oh, I'd really like to do the fishing industry.
Well, tell me what it is you saw that distinguished this group of folk as a culture. I mean, that there was something that really jumped out at you.
Oh, right. Well, I think it's going to really come through in the film. At least I tried very hard to make it come through. Is a profound sense of a shared experience among, of course, the Core Sound communities is quite a large area. It's a number of towns like Davis, Smyrna, Atlantic, maybe 300 or 400 people in each town. So it's a large area, but they all are sort of unified by that sense of shared experience. And just a profound sense of belonging.
And that experience, of course, is the fishing industry one way or another. If you're not out on a boat, you're somehow tied.
Everything's tied to the water. Yeah. Everything in the community.
So and that is a community in transition, as we suggested. That fishing industry seriously threatened. Well, what's happening down there?
Well, I mean, it's a in a sense a threatened culture that is changing and transforming its way of life. As reflected also in its language. Its language is considered to be an endangered language. You don't have an endangered language unless you have an endangered way of life. And so what Neil has tried to do is document this process of the fishers there. And one of the great things about his participation in the community is at the premiere on Thursday night, we expect 75 people from the community who are taking a bus up to see this premiere, and it also indicates how attached we are to the community. We don't want to simply go in and do a documentary of a community in a fishing industry. What we want to do is connect with the community. So they've seen several versions. They've been an active part of the process, and it's a celebration for them as well as for us.
Well, let's hear from a couple of the people in that community. We have a clip from the film, John and David, talking about some of the problems they're facing.
We are right now sitting, as we sit, a retirement community. I mean, basically everybody here that had family, that had land and wanted to go anywhere else, we're sitting on a retirement community because all the kids that graduated land from their grandparents or whatever, or their parents or whatever, they sold out. There's nothing here for them to do. Am I wrong?
No, there's nothing here for them to do.
They don't know how to commercial fish, and commercial fishing is dead. I mean, I showed you the other day, we went rode by the fish houses, and the fish houses are gone.
That's a clip from Core Sounders. You can catch the screening March 16th, 3 o'clock, Witherspoon Cinema, NC State Campus. Is there still space? Can we still get in there?
Yes, we can. You can get in there. There may not be space at the Museum of History, which is Thursday evening. So if you don't have a reservation, you sort of come at your own risk there. But on Saturday at 3 p.m., the Witherspoon is completely open.
So tell me about the problems they're facing, Neil, and sort of some of the ways out. I mean, he's saying, look, this is a retirement community. We're just folding
right up.
What are they talking about?
Well, I think we're truly looking at the end of a chapter in this culture and their history down there. We don't pull any punches as far as that goes. The fishing industry is challenged, but on all sides, encroachment of development, water pollution. There's a balance of regulations versus use of the resource and this kind of thing. So I think it is sort of a melancholy story a bit more than some of the other projects that we've done and for the community. But they're actually, it's the end of a chapter, but it's the beginning of something else. And I like what Walt's choice of words, changing and transforming, because that's what they're doing.
You know, Walt, you talked about endangered languages not being in danger unless the community itself, the economy, isn't. It's interesting that you would say that, because I would think that things like mass media, television, that's really the big push, the big impact. But you're saying, no, as long as we have our way of life, we can watch other people talk and listen to them.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's face it, the people form their identity based on interpersonal conversation. So not that many of us talk to the TV anchor people at night.
Oh, I do.
I'm sure you do. Sometimes I talk at them, but I don't talk with them. So there's a sense in which we form our identities linguistically from our interaction with people. Notwithstanding the fact that we get words and we get a few sayings from TV and we get some models that may or may not fit us, but when it comes right down to it, it's the people that we network with that really give us our agency in terms of how we present ourselves linguistically.
What are some of the cultural traditions that we wouldn't be familiar with here in the Triangle and the Piedmont that are surprising and interesting down in that part of the world?
Well, it's really their knowledge of the local ecosystem and the waters. It's so deep and broad that you really wouldn't – you have to be down there a while and observe them to realize just how much they know about that particular ecosystem. And I think that that's a unique idea that this film brings across to the public, is that we often think of fishermen and ecology on opposite sides of a seesaw, right? But they actually are seated on the same side. And, of course, although that's not news to the old-time fishermen, but to the broad public, that's a unique idea. And they have a special role to play, and I think that they will in the future of, the state's conserving its resources.
How so? Is it political power? Is there any kind of political?
No, they have no political power.
Yeah.
They are. We need more political power for these people. But the role that they play, especially for the year-round fishermen with the knowledge of the resource, is a sort of stewardship role. They are our first line for monitoring our most valuable resources, our ecology. These are the cleanest waters. Coeur Sound is the cleanest waters in the nation. And conservation groups like the Riverkeeper Foundation, for one, there's others, I can't think of them, but they are starting to rely on fishermen to report back on the quality of the waters. If there's sores on a fish, like the anthropologist in the film says, if there's sores on a fish, if there's algae blooms, if there's dead places in the water, the fishermen are the first to report this.
Are there, Walt, any signs that these kinds of coalitions and networks that are now forming around fishermen and conservationists? And, think about this. If the word if you're trying to conserve a culture and conserve an environment, that's a conservative idea, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to preserve something.
Yeah, but I think that we sometimes form these dichotomies that don't really exist. And as Neil said, they're really on the same side. And although I've been more intimately connected with Ocracoke than some of the other places, I see the ecologists working with the local fishers in a way that forms a coalition. Yeah. And it's really sort of a united community preserving a tradition and a way of life.
One of the things we've seen, I know I'm a member of a CSF here, right, and we get fish delivered once a week from the North Carolina shores. Is there more of that kind of thing, cooperatives developing to help preserve the industry down there, Neil?
Yeah, I think that's really, when we talk about this being the end of a chapter, I think that's the beginning of the next chapter. These CSFs in other areas like Massachusetts, they've helped similar communities survive and maintain their character. And they are growing down east, so it remains to be seen if they'll play a key role in preserving the culture and character of the area. But I believe these ideas are gaining traction.
Well, that's interesting because that's a new business model. So we can talk about ecology and we can talk about, a preservationist and fisher people coming together, but now a business model that also helps. And it's a cooperative model. It's not every fisherman for himself. And that's gaining ground or water, if you prefer.
That's right. In order to go forward, they can't work without these sort of coalitions. They can't do it by somebody maintaining the fish house and bringing in your fish and selling it to that person who then passes it on. And so you need more of a coalition that's based on the community, and the community, in a sense, taking charge of its mission in that respect.
Now, I remember one particular clip, one gentleman you talked with, and he said, a lot of people, they like resorts, they like their jacuzzis, they like their umbrella drinks. Me, I just like to be left alone and be allowed to be who I am. So I'm wondering what it was like when y'all came down there and said, we want to do a film about you. Did it take time to build relationships and trust?
Yeah, this was a long one. Walt, do you want to talk about starting Harker's Island?
Yeah, we started doing linguistic interviews in Harker's Island in 1993. And it's a slow process because you don't go into a community and say, we want to do this, and then we're out of here. And based on that, with some other colleagues like Carmen Prioli, who's done work on boating industry and the horses there in Shackleford, we started to work with the community. Neil was part of that, and it took him years. Basically, he has worked on this film for at least 5 to 7 years.
Let's not talk about it.
but in terms, that's part of building up trust. Look, we're always dingbatters or dit-dots or woodsers or outsiders. Yeah. That's our status in life. Nonetheless, there is a level of trust that needs to be built up. And you don't come in by saying, I'd like to do a documentary on this.
Well, there's a fundamental assumption, in a sense, whether you say it or not. It's like, hey, we want to study you because you talk funny and you do things that look a little weird to us.
Yeah.
Right? And they have to receive it that way. So how do you get sort of past the fact that we want to study you because you don't look like us?
I don't really know.
How do they get past that?
Yeah. I think what distinguishes the way that we work is that we spend a lot of time in communities.
Yeah.
I don't go in there with a full crew. A lot of times it's just me by myself, spending days, spending time. And not all of it is filming and production oriented. It's just kind of hanging out. And it's not so much earning their trust as just giving them a chance to size me up and say, okay.
What are they hoping comes out of this, Walt?
Well, I think they're hoping that a realistic representation of the community, of the challenges, and in a sense preserving some of these traditions that are transforming is part of their hope out of it. And we also hope that moving forward and seeing the positive aspects is important to them. But let me just say one other thing that typifies Neil. There's a sense in which when one works with the community, you realize how little you know. Like a fisherman said to me once when we were out on the waters, he said, Walt, you're the dumbest smart guy I've ever met. And there's a sense in which we have to be humble,
yeah,
because their knowledge is, yeah, incredible. If they would give PhDs for their knowledge of the water that they have socialized and intuitively have, they would have PhDs. And there's a sense in which we have to be humble about what we know and what we're representing. And Neil is great in terms of representing that sort of stance in the community.
Have you been showing people stuff along the way, and have they suggested to you changes?
Yeah, we always work closely with the community. Of course, we want to make an authentic picture and not romanticize things, like Walt said. But we do engage the community and keep them involved at every step. And I did, in fact, go down and I watched the film in fishermen's houses with every group in the community, every people that you see in the film. And that was one of the most profound experiences of the whole project.
I'm guessing you ate well when you were down there.
Oh, if you like fish food, yeah, it's great.
What's the coolest thing you learned, Neil?
I think it was more just an appreciation of the deep knowledge that they have for the resource, the idea that they have a role as stewards, and just being able to participate even as an outsider in their sense of place.
How about you, Walt?
Well, I just think for me, the opportunity to work with a community rather than simply study a community. And that's what we've tried to do over the last couple of decades. Go into a community and said, yeah, there are some things that we'd like to study, but we'll work with you to get out of this study what is important to you. So we've gone into communities where we've studied speech and ended up doing nothing in terms of our documentary related to speech other than the fact that they talk a certain way. Where we've, in Princeville, for example, we did a documentary on the history. And now we're doing, and we've done a documentary on, back porch music and so forth. So in a sense, what evolves out of our relationships to the community also reflects the interests of the community itself.
But do you, as scholars, have a responsibility to impose some kind of objective standard about this, or does it become kind of a Chamber of Commerce piece? I mean, how do you run, work
well,
with that?
That's an interesting question. I mean, let's face it. All scientists bring a kind of subjectivity to how they interpret their, quote, data. And a data, in a sense, is socially constructed. But rather than get into that, I'd like to say that, we can measure things very precisely and so forth. But there is a sense in which there is a reflexivity that is always part of what we do. And that's where we're trying to sort of work with the communities rather than simply say, here's some data about this community.
Thank you so much for being on the program. Both of you. Thanks a lot for being
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Walt Wolfram, executive producer of Core Sounders, William C. Friday, distinguished professor of English at North Carolina State, directs North Carolina's Language and Life Project. Neil Hutchison, Emmy Award-winning director of the film Core Sounders and works as a video producer at NC State. You can catch a screening of Core Sounders March 16th, 3 o'clock, Witherspoon Cinema, NC State Campus. Professor Walt Whitman will be there with his poetry on the Core Sounders. Walt Wolfram is going to be there for a Q&A. You should go there. And if you don't remember any of what I just said, go to www.coresounders.com. We're at stateofthings.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.